Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
It's part of the team. When we come out here, we're all focused on working. And getting better at every aspect, and that's different for every person. But my focus has been leading the group, executing when the opportunity is presented, and just focusing on being better each day.
All right, that was Terod Taylor on Friday. Terod Taylor was not out here on Saturday. He was excused for personal reasons, but he is right now the Texans' starting quarterback. The Texans' starting quarterback for the last four seasons is out here at practice, largely not doing much at all, other than soft tossing during the early part of practice. For the rest of the time, Deshaun Watson is just watching, more often than not, just by himself, fairly far away from his teammates. It's awkward, but it doesn't seem to be all that awkward for the guys on the team. They've been going about their business. They've been answering the questions about it. They seem to be pretty well-schooled on how to address the situation. Nobody has said anything explosive about it yet. A lot of guys have just, at the very beginning of their media sessions, say, like Laremy Tunsil on Friday or Saturday, whenever it was, said, just so you know, not talking about four, not talking about COVID. Go ahead and ask me your questions. So I thought what was interesting is that the first day of camp, when David Culley was asked several times about Watson, the continued thing that he leaned on was, well, he wasn't here during OTA, so he's not up to speed on what we're doing. So it's logical. We'll look at the video and see if maybe we should start feeding him more and more things and getting him more and more involved. I'm paraphrasing. Meanwhile, they're picking up guys off the street who are jumping right in and practicing offensively. The VZ kid from that plays wide receiver, they traded for Anthony Miller. He's actually looked really good out here at training camp. So
go ahead.
So that excuse about not knowing the playbook, so to speak, it was one where we're like, yeah, all right. Well, Terod Taylor was asked, hey, has Deshaun Watson been a resource for you when it comes to learning the offense? Here was his answer.
Absolutely. Me and Deshaun are our friends. We know each other for a number of years now. We've had conversations on the field, off the field, about football, about life. Everything has been a positive conversation, and it'll continue to be that way.
Okay, so that's number one. So that was kind of a not a direct answer about, yeah, we talk about this and that with the system, but it was an affirmative answer to the question, has he been a resource for you on the offensive side? Laremy Tunsil just didn't mince words. He was asked on Saturday, is this the same system? He's asked by Brandon Scott, is this the same system that you guys were running last year?
Is the system still the same, the offensive system that y'all were running last year?
Same. We got the same OC, same.
Same
offensive coordinator in Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
The fair question is that obviously a lot of the elements are going to remain the same, but Pep Hamilton came in as the quarterback's coach, and I think they're going to be adding a lot from Pep Hamilton's input. The question would just be, okay, are you going to actually change the way you call plays? Are you going to change some of the terminology, what have you, based on all that, or all the overarching philosophy? And frankly, they might. It's one of those things that you wouldn't necessarily know during training camp, because a lot of that just comes down to what plays are you calling. This is what happens during training camp. You install a gigantic playbook, and you run everything that every coordinator comes up with in a fever dream at some point at 2 a.m. Because they love their 2 a.m. plays, don't they,
mm-hmm,
Sean?
They
I was up at 2 a.m. We down to 8 pots of coffee. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, let's have Vince Wilfork be a fullback and J.J. Watt be the tailback.
Oh,
and we'll ride off into greatness together.
Why'd you?
That's what happens. So they love having all these plays. And it's frustrating as a player sometimes because you go through, you have to learn all, like on defense, you have to learn every check, every coverage, every blitz, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get into week by week during the season, you've got like a tenth of those plays actually in the game plan that week. So the offense might look a lot different during the season, but not necessarily to the players right now, it wouldn't, because the terminology is all the same. So, yeah, but that part of it, I think, backs it up. That, yeah, the, Deshaun wasn't held out because he didn't know the offense. And everybody knew that. That was a little bit of coaching speak when they said that, just to try to get through the first couple days, I guess.
Well, I mean, at some point, there's going to be a moment of truth that if they're not trading Deshaun and Deshaun's still coming out here every day, then there's going to come a point where the answer can't be, well, he wasn't up to speed because of OTAs, you know, if they get asked about it. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be in pads at some point.
I mean,
is Deshaun going to stand here in shoulder pads and a helmet and just watch the way he is?
I think Cully's kind of transitioned into what the mode of answer is going to be. It's just either just ignore the question or say, I've said what I'm going to say about that, or, hey, this is the team as it is, and which is all you can really do. I mean, Cully's in an unwinnable situation when it comes to that. Honestly, the biggest thing you could say is some kind of form of, hey, it's an ongoing legal investigation, and we just are trying to say as little about this as possible. We understand you guys have questions, and I wish I could answer all of them, but we just have to be very, very careful about this. And it's not, and even that will get skewered by people, but you're in an unwinnable, very awkward and bad situation right now.
Amy and I started watching Ted Lasso last night.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the first 3 episodes. How far in are you on Ted Lasso?
I've watched one episode.
Okay, well, I won't spoil anything for you.
Okay.
But he is someone whose coaching chops appear to be very much built on positivity, building people up. He obviously, if you don't watch the show, he's a college football coach played by Jason Sudeikis, who gets hired to coach a Premier League soccer team over in England. So he obviously knows nothing about soccer, but he's all about getting birthday cakes for people after a loss and looking at a guy and saying, that guy's down in the dumps because he's homesick. We're going to build him up.
Yeah.
You know, preventing bullying in the locker room, things like that. I'm watching it, and by 2 episodes in, I'm like, this feels like what the David Culley era might be like in the Texans locker room. And I don't have a problem with it, but it feels like a big part of his thing is just creating a positive work environment and then let your staff go do the heavy X's and O's lifting.
Right. Yeah. Which is, it's tough in coaching because you always, I'd say like 83% of us grew up thinking that coaching football meant yelling and screaming a lot because that's what people saw in movies, so that's what they kept doing, and that's what their dads did, and that's what they're, you know, like that's just the way. I was talking to my nephew this weekend about his youth football coach and like how
old is he?
He's 26 now, but he's permanently scarred from his youth football experience. Seriously, half the kids in my high school, like half of the best athletes quit football by the time they're in high school because our youth coaches were such SOBs.
Yeah.
Like they thought that their purpose in life was to belittle and berate kids.
They think they're drill sergeants.
I had a guy once, I won't say his name. He's an all right guy. Off. We were in fifth grade. A guard missed a block, and the running back got hurt, like dinged up a little bit, like soft kids do.
Yeah.
And the coach starts yelling at this guard, this fifth grader. You see what happened to Kurt? He's never going to play football again, and it's all your fault. And the kid's crying, and the coach just doubles down on it, keeps yelling at him.
Boy.
And I think he went home that night and felt like he did good. He did good that day. So you're the coach, not the kid.
Right.
Yeah, I never heard from the kid again. But so sometimes when somebody like Culley comes along, or I guess like David Caldwell, or really Pete Carroll, his first go-round in the NFL, people think, wow, that can't work. That methodology doesn't work. When in fact, there's evidence that it does work. It's just that the vast majority of guys are tied into their old, playing out the abuses of their childhood.
Yeah. I mean, Culley clearly not cut from the cloth where he's berating guys out there.
My issue with Culley is nothing to do with his personality, right? I think more coaches should be and could be very successful having that general overall attitude. The big question just becomes, okay, is he is a completely outside the box in terms of the resume that a head coach would have.
There's that.
That's the biggest obstacle is, okay, you know, why was he never a coordinator at any level except way back at, was it UTEP, you know, 40 years
ago?
Yeah,
a long time ago.
It was, so that's the biggest question is just his flat-out resume. I don't give a damn about whether a guy, some of my favorite coaches are hard asses, guys that were taskmasters and got after you, and some of my other favorite and best coaches are guys that are super positive.
I'll be anxious to see what he's like behind the scenes as a head coach. He's only had a few months. He hasn't really had to hold people completely accountable for anything yet because it's just been OTAs in the first 5 days of training camp. But we used to hear that about Kubiak all the time, which was he was one way with the media. He was one way with fans. He was, you know, he was, still is, a very friendly, you know, as seemingly as kind of gentle a human being as you'll possibly find. And yet you hear stories from guys, especially offensive players, who played for Kubiak, Seth, that were like, yeah, he ain't anything like that in film room and whatnot. Like, yeah. Kubiak will hold your feet to the fire. That's the part I want. And eventually we'll hear stories, whether they, you know, whether it's that way or not, with Cully. That's the part I'm most intrigued to eventually hear about, sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Does he have that gene in him, where it's not just holding guys accountable, but it's doing it in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable? There's been nothing about David Culley that indicates he's making anything uncomfortable for anybody at this
right.
point.
Right. Well, I don't, you know, Pete Carroll's whole philosophy, because Pete Carroll is who he is, and that is, he's like a super positive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And what Pete Carroll realizes is that really the genuine motivator in the NFL is that you're fighting for your survival.
Yes.
You know, you're fighting for your job on a day-to-day basis. So that's when Pete Carroll first came in, he established himself as a hard ass on one level just by cutting a lot of guys, like making it extremely competitive and having it be genuine competition. And then you don't have to pretend that you're Vince Lombardi. You know, you don't have to pretend that you're Greg Popovich or something in terms of your demeanor, and you just let the competition do its work. So I don't need that. Like, I hate to go back to youth football again, but when I was just done playing football, when I just retired from the NFL, I was helping out with a high school team, and the head coach kept telling me, like, hey, Seth, don't be afraid to get after. Don't be afraid to tear into these guys a little bit. I was like, listen, man, I'm not going to tear into them.
Yeah.
I spent enough years of my life being a jerk. Like, I don't need it. Like, I don't feel like that's I can get a lot out of these kids without having to scream at them, make feel bad about themselves.
You're allowed to say that, by the way, the word you were about to say.
Really?
Yeah.
It
yeah. As long
seem
as you're
right.
not, as long as you're not referring to the body part. Once Rich Lord found that, once Rick, well, no, you're referring to somebody's demeanor. You're calling them an insult. It's different when it's an insult and you're saying, oh, my blank hurts or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds kind of like, though, when you're saying, like, well, no, I mean, I said it was gay, but I didn't mean it, like, actually, like, yeah, but the reason that you're taking a negative connotation from it.
Just telling you.
It's based on the other word.
You would not have been fined if you said that word.
Okay.
Rich Lord found that out and he started using it like it was a toy that he got for Christmas. It was unbelievable. He'd say it all the time after that.
Dirty old man.
I know. All right. There is one player that has consistently shown up on the plus side of the practice reports out here. And this is good news if you're a Texan fan. We'll tell you who it is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Sports Radio 610, good to be with you. We're live at Camp Caserio. Day five of Texans practice out here. Fans will be out here today. Through the first 4 days, Seth, I was going back through my notes. I was going back through John Harris's reports. I mean, if you want reports on practice, if you're interested in what's going on out here, John Harris's reports that he does on HoustonTexans.com are extensive. And I was going through and doing some searches on names on his report and through my notes, and there is one name that consistently showed up every single day on the practice reports for performing really, really well and making plays, and especially it was accentuated out here on Saturday when he had two picks. Justin Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Reed is showing up big time every single day out here, which I think is good news for Texan fans. Obviously, it's great news for Justin Reed, who's in a contract year, and it does, you know, he's a guy, look, I know you can debate and discuss, okay, is he a foundational guy? Is a guy they want moving forward? He had a bad season last year like a lot of guys did, but he was really good his first two seasons. I'm rooting for Justin Reed. If I'm rooting for certain guys to break out with this group, especially guys who are still on their rookie deals, Justin Reed is a guy that I'm really hoping for through the position that he plays, and I think the demeanor that he has. I think he's a guy that as this team tries to rebuild, he could be a really good leader for this team for the next few years.
And Justin Reed is the guy who really could stand to benefit from being in this specific scheme. Because this scheme, and I say this scheme, Lovie Smith's going to change his scheme. It's not like it was necessarily when he was back as the Bears head coach or before that as an assistant coach with the Bucks. But there's going to be certain common elements, and Lovie Smith's schemes have always created a lot of turnovers. If you play more zone coverage than the average NFL team, which means that the safeties and the cornerbacks can have their eyes in the backfield a lot. They can jump routes, and when they make a break on the ball, they're doing it while running the opposite direction of the offense. So there are opportunities for a lot of plays like that. And I think Justin Reed, especially given how smart he is, he's a Stanford guy.
I didn't mean to throw him in there as a Stanford guy.
You know what's good about Justin Reed?
What's that?
He doesn't brag about being a Stanford guy.
Yeah.
He's a lot of Stanford guys. Like Richard Sherman won't shut up about how he went to Stanford, whereas with, you know, Justin Reed, he just lets his work speak for itself.
That's right.
But if you look at Lovie Smith when he was at Chicago, so he was in Chicago from 2004 through 2012. Six of those seasons, they were top six in forced turnovers. Like, it was just consistent. Now, look, it helps when you have Brian Urlacher and Peanut Tillman and various other people.
Yep.
But what we're talking about here is we're not trying to be top six in forced turnovers this year. We're trying to not tie records for lowest number of turnovers like the Texans did last year.
Futility.
They had 9 forced turnovers. The turnover leader in the NFL usually have in the high 30s, low 40s in forced turnovers, sometimes like up into the 50s, I believe. The Texans had 9 forced turnovers last year. It was awful.
Yeah.
So if you want to be closer to a respectable football team this year, if you're somebody that's not hoping the Texans, you know, lose all their games and get the number 1 overall pick, if you want some competitiveness, by far the quickest and best way to even the playing field against teams with more overall talent or better quarterbacks is to just create more turnovers. So Justin Reed's a big part of that.
He is, and he has been through camp. He had a couple of picks on Saturday. He's had other picks during some of these drills. He's been really, really good. When we're standing here, Seth, in the media area here watching camp, there are two practice fields, and there's stuff going on both of them at all times. And when we're watching one field, the defense is sometimes over on another field, and you hear this little mini uproar, and you see the defense running the other way, and a lot of times it's been 20 with the ball in his hands doing that. So that's really good news. It's funny you mention that, because it feels like with the hiring of Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator, combined with how just utterly horrible this defense was at turning other teams over last year, that there's been this narrative of, well, Lovie's defense has turned teams over a ton in Chicago back in the day. So we sure expect the Texans to improve in forcing turnovers this year to the point where they feel like it's just something that Lovie can coach into them. Is that something that gets coached during training camp by certain guys?
Somebody asked this on Twitter, and they said, Seth, because I tweeted about this weekend. Somebody said, well, don't all defensive coaches emphasize turnovers? Like, yeah, but when you ask that question, you got to remember there's degrees of emphasis. You know, like college, every basketball coach on earth claims he emphasizes defense. Mm-hmm. There's some that actually work at it. And so there's various things you can do. One is just by focusing on it and emphasizing it in team meetings, in practice, everywhere, like actually like really rewarding it, calling attention to it, not just the turnovers, but like the being very diligent about making sure guys are always stripping the ball, always going after the ball. The other is, like we talked about, the types of coverages you play can give guys more opportunities for breaks on the ball. And I'll tell you the big thing, too, because I went through this in 1999 when I was with the Jaguars. That was the year we went 14-2,
right.
Lost to the Titans in the AFC Championship game. Yep. But for the first three quarters of the season, we were the number one defense in the league, maybe two-thirds of the season. And one of the big things was we were turning the ball over. We were turning the ball over like the 2012 Houston Texans, just mm-hmm. forcing turnovers left and right. And we focused on it in practice. Like, we were maniacal about it. We attacked ball carrier. Guys were the offensive players get frustrated because they couldn't get past the line of scrimmage without getting hacked at like 20 times. And we really focused on it every single day in practice. What happened was the offensive coaches would not stop bitching about how hard it was to run a practice. Meanwhile, the offense was awesome. They were fine. But they were upset that it was just hard to have a good practice and execute cleanly because guys were just constantly hacking at them. So we backed off. Then we had some injuries, too. But I swear, to this day, I could still, like, you could sense the difference in when the emphasis became a little less, when the focus in practice became less intense. It showed up on the game field. So what I hope for the Texans is that the offensive coaches don't all go huddle in a monastery like the Vikings are attacking them. Mm-hmm. They're praying to their god, David Culley, to protect them from the evil Vikings who are marauding their village. Just let them go.
There was a lot of village marauding going on Saturday.
Sacked and pillaged.
They were indeed. And it wasn't much better with Jeff Driscoll either, quarterback.
You said the Davis Mills for they made Davis. Never mind. I was about to get too. I've watched too many like Vikings miniseries. I was about to get too graphic there.
All right. So it's day five, Camp Caseria. I thought about this. There's probably a lot of folks who are in their cars on their way out here to practice today. The first day for the fans to be out here. Season ticket holders are going to be out here. We're going to have a lot of people here for our station up in the VIP area up there. So it's an exciting day. So let's do a couple things here as Seth and I head into the final segment. We'll get to some headlines. We will also, it's not just Justin Reed. I want to give you guys, especially those of you who are coming out here for practice, who are some other players that have done enough these first 4 days where you got to watch them at practice? We'll hit some of those as well. A reminder, too, that if you're listening throughout the morning, Nick Caserio is going to be on with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer at 8:45 a.m. this morning. So Nick Caserio at 8:45 on our air here on Sports Radio 610. And, of course, you got to get to sportsradio610.com. The last day to register for Win Caserio's Cash. You can get $100 handed to you from the Texans general manager if you're the lucky winner of our pick how many transactions he's going to make over the next few weeks contest. All the rules in the poll to go vote is up online, so go check that out. Win $100 from the Texans general manager. Up next, tale of the tape. And this is something good to watch, too, if you're out here at practice today. Where is Deshaun Watson actually channeling James Harden at these practices? That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we are starting the week where fans are going to be out here for a lot of these practices. We're live at Camp Casario, Sports Radio 610, Houston Methodist Training Center. It is Texans training camp. Nick Casario will be on with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, 8:45 a.m. today. So I feel like, Seth, just for the benefit of the listening audience who's going to be out here, and I think in general the people who don't come out here but they're curious about what's going on out here with the science experiment that is the 2021 Houston Texans. Like, what are the things that we should be looking for here? And I thought about this over the weekend. Somebody was asking me about Deshaun Watson and what's it been like with him out there and how's he acting. And they brought up James Harden. And I said, yeah, you know what? You and I had been talking for a long time, as had other people. Like, okay, if it reaches the point where Deshaun is still on this team and he's out there at training camp, can he pull a James Harden? Can he make life uncomfortable enough for the Texans where they just throw their arms up and they say, okay, we got to trade him. We just got to get him out of here. Harden, obviously, it was a different scenario because he didn't have any legal issues that he was dealing with at the time. And there were suitors that were basically just lined up at the gate ready to trade for James Harden. And I think the Rockets still thought deep down they might be able to work things out with James Harden and convince him that, hey, if you stick around, things are going to get better here eventually, even though we just traded your buddy Russ. So, but Harden made life really hard for them in so many ways. Attitudinal, he came in heavy, he came to camp and then left and violated COVID protocols by going to Atlanta to party with Lil Baby. There was a lot of stuff that he did. I think generally you and I had thought, like, there's no way. Like, Deshaun is just wired a certain way where he's just not going to do James Harden things. Now, to be fair, the Texans aren't really allowing him to do a lot of stuff out here that would be able to show, like, okay, how dialed in is he from a physical standpoint?
Yeah, this is, I guess that...
This would be like asking James Harden to go sit on the bench and watch practice.
Yeah, and what would happen? That's what's so strange about this. None of this is exactly like any other situation because of the sheer number of allegations against him. And obviously, James Harden didn't have any allegations against him at the time. It was strictly a contract dispute, NBA style. I guess.
Yeah, he just wanted out. Like,
what would we have said about the Rockets if they had just said, like, all right, well, he's just not going to play then? I mean, because that would have been the smart thing. I mean, right now, a lot of people are acting like the dumbest thing the Texans have ever done in their history is allowed Deshaun Watson to be out on the practice field. I'm not there. I don't think it's stupid. I think there's almost no proper way to navigate your way through this situation. That's where I am. But I feel like if people had let James, if the Rockets had just let James Harden, you know, stay in the locker room and not do anything, I feel like some of the same people that are critical of the Texans' methods right now would have been difficult of the Rockets for just caving to him.
I think the Rockets thought that if James Harden got out there and played with this new set of teammates and they started winning some games, that he might change his mind and at least give it a season.
And I don't think he got a Christian Wood this year. He didn't have a center that can shoot or space the floor or whatever. But
yeah.
And it would have been, you know what, it would have been different if Westbrook were still around.
Sure.
That's part of the problem.
Sure.
Too.
And so James kind of had to force the issue. Like, if he wanted out, he kind of had to force the issue. I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying it was right for him.
It made sense with his strategy to do that.
It did. The Texans, Deshaun Watson's not going to see the field for the Texans, I don't think, ever again in a regular season game, is my guess. The Texans are much more resigned to trading Deshaun Watson than the Rockets were with James Harden.
I guess, and part of it is, it's as simple as that. They're different sports. James Harden's been an incredibly durable basketball player until this year. But the chances of a major injury in basketball aren't the same as they are in football.
That's a very good point as well. You throw Deshaun out there in a drill, he gets hit by the wrong guy, and you know, you're now all of a sudden your biggest trade chip is dealing with an injury. So you tell me, Seth. So I was trying to come up with, I said, okay, what are the Harden-y things that Deshaun has been doing so far in camp? Is there any element of Deshaun Watson that has tinges of James Harden in it and how he's been handling this camp? You tell me if I'm being fair or unfair with these things.
Okay.
He comes to practice and leaves practice by himself. He's not around teammates at all, really.
This is where it gets dicey. I have read that, and this is like, look, you know, I hate it when people try to read into behavior and figure out emotion that's that's fueling
it's
the behavior.
It's all we're left with Deshaun.
Some of that, to me, has seemed... The way I've read it is more that he's trying not to be a distraction.
Okay.
And then again, that's how it looks to me. Mm-hmm. I have no basis for that or what have you, but that's just the way I've read the situation.
When practice ends, this is the second one, when practice ends, the quarterbacks, Taylor, Mills, Driscoll, they go off to the field to our left here, and they go continue to throw for several minutes after prep, for a while. Long after we're gone, they're still out here throwing. As soon as practice ends, Deshaun makes a beeline to get across the street back to the stadium.
Right. I mean, I guess, yes, you should read into all these. I guess but the question is, okay, what do you read into it? Yeah, that he doesn't want to be here. That it's a really weird situation, and that he's going to come out and do exactly what he's supposed to do, but it's not going to be like it used to be where you're going out early and staying out late. It's just, how can I check off as many boxes to just make it through and not get a conduct detrimental?
But it sounds like, in your mind, these things aren't James Harden-ish in any ways. The things Harden was doing was an affront to the sensibilities of anybody in that organization.
The things he's being asked to do, he seems to be doing with the appropriate amount of energy.
Right.
So in the drills, when he's in the drills...
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's slacking or like he's not quite himself like he used to be. But when he's actively doing the drills that he is doing, he does not look James Harden-ish.
Okay. The other thing, third thing, these are the things that I'm seeing if Seth thinks that these are James Harden type things that Deshaun is doing. Spends most of the practice way away from the team all by himself. I snapped a picture the other day of him kneeling in the end zone while literally the rest of the team, the rest of the offense, is huddled getting coached, and he's off kneeling by the goal line while they're all up by the 40-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's... Yeah, I guess that's
should he be
James
standing
Harden
at least near the huddle?
It's all so strange. I guess the only way it could really be like James Harden is if they actually started playing football games that mattered and he was out there just not even trying.
Jacking around.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No.
I don't think he would do it that way. It's just a different sport and a different circumstances. And I think he's, like, I'm not complimenting. It's not like it's a compliment to Deshaun or anybody else that they wouldn't do that. I think it just illustrates that James Harden's method was so far away from what the norm is that it's not like I'm sitting here and saying, like, well, you know, Deshaun wouldn't do what James Harden did, so he's a saint. I'm just saying, like, no, I don't think he would take it as extreme as somebody who did it like nobody we've ever seen before.
I guess of all the things Harden did, what are the things that are still, of those clubs that Harden used to get out of town, which of those are in Deshaun's bag that he could possibly use? Because they're not going to put him on the field in a competitive situation. It's going to be impossible for him to put on 30 pounds where he's got a boiler hanging over his belt.
I say, if anything, I'm worried that he's going to get emaciated. He's out here in those sweats every day.
Deshaun is from Atlanta. Could Deshaun have left yesterday on the off day to fly to Atlanta and party with rappers?
I mean, he could have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, would that have been a thing? That is James Harden-ish?
I think he's probably like, where the rubber meets the road, there's financial considerations here where he's got an expensive team of lawyers working for him that, I don't know.
Can't just be jumping on these planes going everywhere.
I don't know how many hours he has on his NetJets account or what have you, but maybe he's not going plunking down extras.
I think for people who are coming out here today to watch this practice, they just heard us talking about how unplugged Deshaun is. I think it's going to be eye-opening for fans who are out here to actually see what this looks like.
Well, I've seen a few people kind of take some grabs, like still frames of him laughing with a teammate or something and saying, well, you see, the media is blowing this out of proportion. No, that's... I guess that's kind of like laughing at a funeral, you know, like there's an overarching theme of the way things are usually. And all I'm going to tell you is it's just strange. It's just different.
Yep.
Which shouldn't be a shock. Like there's no narrative to be told here. Nobody knew what to expect or what it was going to look like because I can't remember a situation quite like this. So it shouldn't be a shock to anybody that, it's weird. It looks weird. It's strange. Like I don't know what to tell you other than that's an awkward as one player described it, it's kind of like you got a situation in your home life and everybody's walking on eggshells and you just don't quite know what to say or do or how to navigate through. Everybody's just hoping there's not a big blow up.
Except I don't feel like the players out here are walking on eggshells.
But out here they're at practice. Like just in terms of how do you address the elephant in the room over in the facility.
Yeah.
It's not, and that's the other big thing is that largely on a football team, especially during training camp, there's 90 people, and each one of them is trying to either make the football team, on this team in particular, or improve their performance on the year, learn the scheme, like do all those things. Everybody has selfish concerns that they've got to try to take care of to be a part of this football team. It's not like you can dominate all of your thoughts. Was like, oh my gosh, where was Deshaun during 7-on-7? Oh my god, OMG, did you even see what he was like? It's just not going to be like that. Everybody else is distracted.
Camp Casario, day 5. Fans will be out here today. Seth, if you were based on the first few days of practice here and how guys have performed, if you were to tell people who are coming out here, who are some guys that are worth watching that have done? We already mentioned Justin Reed. Justin Reed's had a great camp so far. I'll throw Charles Omenihu's name in there as well. Charles Omenihu's had a really good camp so far as well.
Yeah.
If you're looking for guys who, you know, Charles Omenihu heading into his third year, that's a guy they're going to need. You know, J.J. Watt's not here anymore. They're going to need to find some solutions along the defensive line to get some semblance of a pass rush. Omenihu, who are some other guys that you've watched out here that have flashed to you? You've been taking a lot of notes.
I think I'm intrigued by the defensive line right now, and on Friday was the first time we actually got to watch them one-on-one pass rush up close because they were doing it down at this end.
Yeah.
And it's, look, this is all with no pads on yet, and there's always guys look awesome in no pads and then kind of float away.
And who are they?
Pads. Come on, I don't know. These guys may or may not stay looking impressive. In watching the one-on-one pass rush drill, Ross Blacklock and Malik Collins, the two defensive tackles, they had some really nice two-man games, like when they go two offensive linemen versus two defensive linemen, where you could really see the elements of what Lovie Smith wants in a defensive lineman in this scheme. Guys that are really athletic can get upfield. Collins has that. I'm not comparing him to Warren Sharp except in this one aspect. He's more
Warren Sapp, I think, is what you
mean. What did I say? Warren Sharp?
Warren Sharp.
The stats guy.
That's you.
He's like Warren Sapp. So in that, he's much more athletic than his body type would lead you to believe.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Remember when you would watch Warren Sapp? I loved watching Warren Sapp go through pass rush drills because he was like kind of a rotund fella.
He's a barrel.
And he wasn't that tall.
Yeah.
But he was just blazingly fast.
He's a
barrel.
It
didn't look right. He would be like Santa Claus going through an agility drill or something faster than everybody else.
Right.
And I think Malik Collins has a little bit of that. So that's the kind of athleticism you're looking for. I think this scheme is going to be a lot better for Ross Blacklock. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that the one guy that Jordan Jenkins, who came over from the Jets, who's a veteran, he's been in the league for 5 years now.
Yeah.
But he's had some really nice pass rushes, and he's a guy that's a NFL caliber player. He's shown that. It's just okay. Is there untapped upside for a guy that's been through a few different coaches and in a bad situation in New York? There, maybe you get something good out of him. I did a video after practice. On Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I called Jordan Jenkins Jaleel Johnson
There is a Julio Johnson.
I know. Yeah.
You met Jordan Jenkins.
I was complimenting Jordan Jenkins, but I said Jahlil Johnson. Now I feel bad because I haven't really watched Jahlil Johnson at all. There's four J's and two names is too much for me, Sean. You have a hard enough time with Jordan Akins and
Jeremy Akins. Yeah, we used to call him Jeremy Akins.
That was rough. That was a rough time in my life, Sean.
Yeah.
So now I got to watch Jahlil Johnson today.
Time in my life. you know why you like Jahlil Johnson so much, Seth?
Yeah.
Guess what number he is.
Oh, see, that's right. He's 91.
He's 91. He's taking over. He's renting your house. Yeah,
he's been taking over for Carlos Watkins.
Carlos Watkins, you kicked him out. Yeah, you booted them out. They weren't good tenants of number 91. So now Jahlil Johnson takes over.
Somebody remind me who else has had 91? Seth Payne, Amobi Okoye, Carlos Watkins.
I think it goes without saying you're the greatest number 91 in the history of this franchise.
There was talk of retiring it for a while. it was
in my mind.
It was all by me, and yeah. I got laughed out of the room.
In my mind, it's.
When I set an appointment with Cal, I said, I've got something really urgent I need to talk to you about. And he said, well, of course, I'll make time for you, Seth. And I came up there and I had a proposal. I didn't even get to my PowerPoint. Laughed me out of the room. Had my PowerPoint ready to go.
They took the clicker out of your hand asked you kindly to leave.
They called security.
All right, let's get to some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, it is Camp Casario, day 5. Nick Casario will be on the station at 8:45, about an hour from now, 8:45 a.m. He'll be on with John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer, Texans general manager. Camp Casario on Saturday was a rough one for Davis Mills, rookie quarterback, threw 5 picks across the various different team drills that they had throughout the morning on Saturday. But David Culley said, hey, man, it's a rough day, but it happens.
Obviously, we don't want interceptions in practice, but it happens. But I thought it was great reps for he and Jeff both today, and that's what we got. That's what you got to do. You got to get it. You got to get there and in the wars, and they got there and they got the reps. The thing about those two today, it was a red zone day, and red zone day, everything is tight. Everything happens in a hurry, and then for a rookie, that things happen quickly, and they were getting after today, especially in our team period. But I thought they handled themselves well. We got what we expected. We'll go back and watch the video and make the corrections, but I think it was great work for them.
Sean, if you find yourself worried about Davis Mills, let me. I came up with 4 different things to try to calm your fears. Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, good. Okay. Because, I was telling you over the weekend, I'm like, Seth, you're going to need to calm me down about this Davis Mills thing.
See. So, try not to read into a rookie's practice on any given Sunday. But if you find yourself doing that,
I think it's going to help a lot of fans.
How's this work for you?
Okay, go ahead.
Every interception is one step closer to Spencer Rattler.
Okay. I got you. So. If we're going to go on a full-out tank, it's actually better that Davis Mills is not very good because he's probably going to get – if this team's not doing well, he's probably going to start half the games this year.
Worst-case scenario would be he's Drew Lock. That he comes in and does some really nice things in his rookie year, and you kind of
like
trick him. You're like, maybe we should make it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Okay, how about this? Does this make you feel any better?
Okay.
The defense was phenomenal.
That actually does make me feel a little better because if they weren't turning over this quarterback, maybe not to the point where I'm like, this defense is going to be amazing, but of the things that need to happen for this team to be respectable this year, I do feel like getting turnovers defensively is going to be a big part of that. So I feel like if Davis Mills were out there not making mistakes, yep. I would feel awful about the defense right now.
Okay.
So that one, so far, so good.
That's those ones valid.
And just back to your first one. I'm a Rattler fan.
Yeah.
You know, I like the pedigree. I like playing for Lincoln Riley in that offense and whatnot. So, but you can plug in any of the quarterbacks next year. Okay, so far, so good. I'm feeling a little bit better.
Potential things to make you feel better about Davis Mills throwing 5 picks in 1 practice.
Okay, give me more.
He's got a Stanford education to fall back on if he doesn't make it.
Well, I don't give a rat's ass about that.
Davis Mills,
if he's turning the ball over and he's not good at quarterback, he could go work at Dairy Queen.
How about this one? Because I remember Mahomes having a rough spell, and I was thinking that it was rookie year in training camp. It was actually in his second year. He threw 3 interceptions in 1 practice. He went through a stretch where he threw an interception in 6 straight practices or
that was
some
year
absurd
two?
Number like that. That was in year 2. That was when people were saying, like, whoa, maybe letting go of Alex Smith wasn't the smart thing to do.
Yeah, people forget Mahomes played hardly at all his rookie year.
Yeah, just at the end after they had already had their playoffs.
Right, one start.
Stemmed up. And he, in his rookie year, he threw a lot of picks, too. And we played some audio earlier of Tyreek Hill. So, look, I'm not saying that, hey, Davis Mills had a bad practice. That means he's going to be as good as Pat Mahomes.
Right.
But Pat Mahomes is a good illustration of, rookie and even second-year quarterbacks are still learning.
Okay. I feel 31% better.
Okay.
After you giving me those four bullet points, so yeah. It worked. It doesn't. I'm not all the way around on the thing.
So you got to remember with Davis Mills, and this is what I worry about him, and this is why people were questioning. Okay, why did you draft Davis Mills now? Because if he is a project who's going to need a couple years to develop, that doesn't really hem up with figuring out whether you're going to draft the quarterback first overall next year.
True.
Kind of like, you know, like Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie Johnson, when the Texans drafted him, you said, okay, well, this guy's a project, like big time. They haven't played in multiple schemes, don't know exactly what he is. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? But then all of a sudden, when he gets thrust into action his rookie year, like, oh my gosh, he's not good yet. Like, yeah. 2 months ago, you were saying he was a 3-year project.
That's true.
I can't believe he's not good after 3 months in the NFL.
That's true.
What the hell? So with Davis Mills, hey, guess what? Guys that don't get drafted in the first round, that happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So he's going to have some rough practices. If he's a project, he's a project.
Hey, he only started 11 games, you know? There's a reason why he fell. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, shifting gears here real quick as we get to the top of the hour out of Camp Casario, day five. Let's shift gears, go over to some Astros talk. Astros-Giants this weekend. I build it going into Friday afternoon, Seth, or on our show on Friday in headlines as a possible preview of the World Series this coming year, and I think that's fair to say. I think the Astros are one of the two or three best teams in the American League, undoubtedly. The Giants have the best record in baseball, so they're in that conversation. It was a fun series. You know, Friday, Jose Altuve made another fan base eat crap. With a home run and a grand slam. That's after the Comcast Sportsnet affiliate out there tweeted when Jose smashed a bat after he struck out. He smashed it twice, and they tweeted out, bang twice if it's a breaking ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he hit two home runs after that. So, how'd that taste? But then Saturday and Sunday didn't go quite as well for the Astros. Still a fun series. I mean, the Giants are a really interesting team. I would say the big news coming out of this weekend for the Astros has less to do with the Giants series and more to do medically with this team right now. Alex Bregman, in his rehab stint in Sugarland, left the game early yesterday with a tight hamstring. We'll talk about that in a second. Michael Brantley left yesterday's game early with a right ankle issue. He was replaced in left field by Yordan Alvarez. Here is Dusty Baker on Michael Brantley's status.
He twisted his ankle, you know, the one that had been bothering him, you know, a lot of his career. You know, when he beat out that infield hit and he hit the bag at first base. And so, you know, we took him for x-rays. Everything was negative. And he's day-to-day.
All right, so he's day-to-day. He's not going to go on the injured list, it looks like, Seth. I'm more worried about the Bregman one than I am the Brantley one.
Yeah.
The hammy, not good.
The hammy, not good. Miles Straw traded away, obviously, and Chaz McCormick will take his spot. I was honestly a little bit blindsided by the ferocity with which people
defended
objected
Miles Straw
to getting rid of Miles Straw,
a
completely average baseball player. Like, hey, he used to be awful, but now he's pretty average.
What are you thinking?
How can you trade away an average baseball player? Yes, I want relievers, but not at the cost of an average baseball player.
Right.
He's been an awesome story, and he battled through some very unpromising performances, but I didn't have I was wrong about Miles Straw early in the season, but I'm not going to shed a tear for him when this bullpen desperately needed to help. Now, the thing that people are worried about now, and rightfully so, is that the starting pitching is young. They're going to pitch more innings than many of them have ever pitched before. The Astros right now are second in the league in terms of innings pitched by starters.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see a little bit of evidence of that. Like, how are our starters? How's old Zach Greinke going to hold up?
Not well this week.
Over the second half of the season and on into the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And along those lines, it was Luis Garcia who pitched yesterday. And this is two straight starts where Luis Garcia's command, not all there. I mean, he wasn't awful yesterday, but he wasn't great. It was one of those games where the Astros offense would have needed to have been clicking on all cylinders to win that baseball game, and they just weren't yesterday. Here's Dusty on Luis Garcia's command.
You know, I've been plagued by the, you know, by the homer, especially, you know, the center cut fastballs. And so we got to stay out of the middle and find the edges again. You know, that's been the difference between him now and him earlier in the year. So we got to keep an eye on him, I think, from now on around that 80-pitch mark, because seems like, you know, that's where he kind of, you know, gives it up. So, you know, now we know we got to keep an eye on him. I think the last three starts was right around that same time.
Yeah, Garcia, a little shaky lately. Odorizzi's been up and down this year. Zach Greinke has largely been good, but when he's been bad, he's been really bad, like he was on Saturday. Lance McCullers struggles early in games and gets behind the eight ball and then seems to straighten things out. And then Framber has not been the Framber of last year. That's probably, Seth, I'm not worried about the offense being kind of inconsistent and spotty. Look, the Giants are going to do that to a lot of teams, and it'll probably be that way this week against the Dodgers in L.A. Those will be two tough games for the Astros going against Buehler and Scherzer. The bats are going to they're going to hit. I'm not worried about that. To me, the biggest difference with the Astros 2021 versus the years where they were competing for a World Series in 2017 through 2019, there's not a guy in this rotation that I feel great trotting out in game one going, all right, they got this. Yeah. It's not Verlander, Cole of last year, even Keuchel back in 2017 was a guy that for most of that season was pretty trustworthy. Charlie Morton. They, you know, if we're power ranking Astros starting pitchers by season of the last 4 or 5 years, I feel like you get 6 or 7 seasons worth of pitchers down the list before anybody from 2021 shows up on that list.
I think that for one, you know, you always got to remember too, some of the postseason heroes weren't regular season heroes necessarily. Gerrit Cole didn't start his incredible dominance until the second half of the season.
Yes.
So these situations can and do change.
They are fluid.
And the playoff performances, especially, you know, like with Charlie Morton, you're talking about several performances. The guys that every single one of these guys are capable of, but they don't. It's just a matter of I'm in a weird spot where I'm actually more worried about the regular season than the playoffs themselves. Because you get the playoffs, and a lot of it's a crapshoot anyway.
It's very random.
Yeah. But actually keeping these guys like Luis Garcia stretched out further than they've ever been stretched out, but without them getting fatigued or getting injured or just losing their effectiveness, that's the part that I worry about. Phil Maton, the new reliever.
Yeah.
I was pleased to see that James Click got somebody who I could only describe as a sabermetrician's exotic sexual dream.
Oh, you like him, huh?
You know
stat nerd. He's a stat nerd dream.
There's nothing us stat nerds love. There's nothing we love more, like, honestly, in life. Like, there's not a food dish, there's not a woman, there's not an exotic experience that we love more than being able to blame something on bad luck. And Maton's had really, really bad luck.
Oh, has he?
Oh, if you can show me a guy with a high ERA, but a high whiff rate as well.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's had nothing but bad luck, Sean.
Yeah.
He's probably this damn Cy Young reincarnated right here.
Swing and miss guy.
But he's had really, really bad luck.
Okay.
98th percentile whiff rate.
Oh, you love that.
Yeah.
You love that.
His FIP and his skill interactive ERA.
Wait,
Sierra,
what?
As you know.
His skill interactive ERA? What
bad
the
luck
hell?
This year. That's right.
Oh, my God. People are driving off the road right now. All right. Seth and I are about done. Day 5, Camp Caserio starts up here shortly after 9 o'clock. 8:45 a.m., Nick Caserio will be on with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. If you're some of the fans who are coming out here and you see us out here, be sure to say hello. It should be a very interesting day out here. Day 5, Davis Mills will try to bounce back. Tyrod Taylor back out here at practice, and obviously the awkwardness that continues to go on with Deshaun Watson out here. So there's a lot to watch, a lot to consume. Texans Radio has you covered next. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Again, Nick Caserio at 8:45 a.m. Seth and I will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.